All right. Well, now, hang on, because we have a lot of material to cover, and my goal is always to cram it all in. So, think with me through this, and let's pray. Lord, thank you so much again for your word, which is alive and powerful. Thank you that you will help us to understand this, and I pray that you will use this material for us to help other women. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of this is Counseling Women Who've Been Influenced by a Needs Gospel and a Needs View of Sanctification. One time I went into a church and they had a bulletin board and they were advertising a class on how to help your child have a high self-esteem. If that wasn't bad enough, in the sermon, one of the things the pastor said in one of his prayers was, Lord, we look forward to being in heaven with you so that we will no longer have to feel badly about ourselves. At that point, I was about to have a heart attack. And then, long time ago, I was cleaning house, I remember, working around, and I had a Christian radio station on, and Dr. Dobson came on with a little blurb, and he was talking about how terrible it is for one spouse to belittle the other and to call them names and be ugly to them, and I totally agreed with him. And then he said, and do you know why it is so bad? And so at that point, I really stopped. I knew why, but I wanted to see what he was going to say. Actually, when he answered it, I got out a pen and paper and wrote it down so I could accurately quote him. But he said, it's so bad because it will tear down their self-esteem. He did not say one word about sin, about repentance, about overcoming evil with good, about forgiving. It was all about the wounded person's self-esteem. Well, I could go on and on with examples like this, but I won't. But it's a very high view of man and a very low view of God. The bad news is we are sinners, but the good news is God can cleanse us from our sin and grant us repentance, and he can change us. I have a cousin who's an unbeliever, and one time he asked me, he said, you see God as the prophets saw God. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he said, you see him as high and lifted up. And I said, you know, that's true. I love how Daniel talked about the God of heaven and the God of his fathers and God Most High. And yes, I would have, I agreed with my cousin. Now, what I want to do in this workshop, because a lot of women that you may counsel may have been influenced by psychology or theory, even in churches, it's infected the gospel now, and also majorly in ways of how Christians grow and grow in God's grace. The challenge is to understand this in a clear way yourself so that you can help other people to think through it. And it's not easy to do that. You know, psychology is wrong and it's all theory and it's anti-Bible, but we hear this so much on Christian radio and Christian books and Christian psychologists and all that, that we just kind of have come to think that way. And so it takes a while for the fog to clear. Let me define psychologized man, Most High. I defined it as a view of man that is man-centered and man-esteeming instead of God-centered and God-esteeming. Now, this is a view that is contrary to the scriptural view of man. Psychologized man most high is an unbiblical view of man that is derived from psychological theories about man that perceive man as needy in an unbiblical sense. Now, we do desperately need the Lord Jesus, but this is not where they're coming from. This is not a matter where good Christians can just agree to disagree. This is serious, seriously impugning the glory of God and the character of God and the scriptures. A psychologized view, even if you try to Christianize it, of man is unbiblical because, first of all, it robs God of glory. It gives at least part of the glory to man. Isaiah 42:8, God said, I am the Lord, and that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Secondly, it enhances man's pride, as if we don't have enough already. Romans 12:3, Paul said, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who's among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Thirdly, it deceives man. It makes him more self-centered, often by twisting scripture to fit their particular psychological presuppositions. A presupposition is what you presuppose to be true about something. Ephesians 4 verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. And then it's an unbiblical view because it is based more on human reason and logic than scripture. Colossians 2:8 says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And then Proverbs 14:10, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Now, I have a quote from Minerth and Meyer. They are psychiatrists. They wrote the textbook for Christian psychology, Introduction to Christian Psychology. And in that book, they say, basically, psychologists try to find out what makes people tick and how their minds work. Psychology might be, and this is humanly reasoning through this, psychology might be thought of as a study of how living creatures are able to interact with their environment and each other, and how they cope successfully or unsuccessfully with that environment. Psychology thus overlaps with philosophy and religion, as well as other sciences such as physiology, anthropology, and sociology. And these men are Christians, and what they have done is come up with a counseling model that embraces psychology theory, humanistic psychology theory, and they mixed it with some scripture. That's why we call it integrationist there. But when you mix error with truth, you come up with error. It's no longer truth. R.C. Sproul, in one of his books, he said, this sees man's dignity and worth as intrinsic within man instead of extrinsic given to man by God. The idea is that somehow we are so valuable that we deserve God's love and blessings, or that maybe we don't deserve his love and blessings, but he gave them to us, and now we are special. Now we are valuable. Now we have this worth. It's a form of humanism. Now, I looked up the word humanism in Webster's dictionary. Well, Sproul said, it's the ultimate form of idealism.